Daily News Podcast. I'm your host, Shanna Fold, and I'm here to get you caught up quickly. I've got some top news stories for you today from Israel, and guess what? You're listening, so you're already on top of your game. Survive and thrive, people. Knowledge is the best weapon. Today is Thursday, May 9th, 2024 in the Gregorian calendar, and the 2nd of Iyar, 5784 in the Hebrew calendar. And it's my birthday, my Gregorian birthday anyway, which is the one I grew up celebrating. My Hebrew birthday falls out on Yom Yerushalayim, which is Jerusalem Independence Day. At the end of today's show, I will read out 12 names of hostages still being held in Gaza today. Many of them are in my age bracket and will not be celebrating anything today, and I wanted to make it a point to honor them. After that, we'll have a Torah thought from Rabbi Yossi Madvig of Oswego, New York. Now, let's get to the news. In a lengthy discussion Monday, President Joe Biden informed Israeli Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu that the U.S. plans to stop arms shipments to the IDF, or Israel Defense Forces, if Israel moves forward with its incursion into Rafah, which is in the southern Gaza Strip. According to sources, Netanyahu countered, stating Israel would fight tooth and nail if necessary. Now, Israel says that it is absolutely necessary to go into Rafah in order to finish the war and to bring hostages home and, of course, secure the country of Israel for the future. Biden raised significant concerns about the Rafah operation, focusing on the U.S.'s desire to see a complete evacuation of civilians before any military action. Despite Netanyahu's assurances that no operations would begin prior to evacuation, the U.S. president expressed strong opposition to its strategy. Now, there's 1.5 million Palestinians in this region, and from my understanding, about 150,000 of them are already being evacuated. White House National Security Council spokesman John Kirby says Biden does not want certain types of American weapons used in certain arenas under certain conditions, and continued on to say, quote, "We hope that Israel will not act in Rafah, and we will continue to work with them on alternative proposals." He also spoke to the border issue and said that the United States would help Israel to ensure the border between Gaza and Egypt will not be used for arms smuggling, and would work to help capture Hamas leaders, including Yahya Sinwar, who is the Hamas leader on the ground in Gaza. The other leaders are in Qatar, staying in mansions and private homes. The world is buzzing about this topic, with many saying it is a major departure from former U.S.-Israel policy. Americans are trying to say that it's for the benefit of Israel and that a Rafah offensive will toughen Hamas instead of weaken Hamas or soften Hamas, making it harder to get them to come to an agreement. Israel's minister Benny Gantz, who has a long military history and career, said, quote, "The partnership between the U.S. and Israel is a strategic partnership and, just as importantly, a value partnership. The U.S. has a moral and strategic obligation to provide Israel with the tools required for this mission," end quote. What I believe Gantz meant by that is that Israel does not simply benefit from handouts from the United States. It is a mutual relationship in which Israel is constantly providing information, technology, brain power, and defense tech to the United States in return for weapons, which Israel typically takes from the United States, improves their defense technology using their know-how and expertise, and then when they send the information back, the United States can then upgrade and improve their defense systems using the information and technology upgrades from Israel. So there is a mutual relationship here. Those news bites you just heard were powered by our partner, Bernie News Network, or BNN. For fast and precise updates, you can join BNN on WhatsApp and Telegram by going to their site, bernie.news. Sunday night into Monday is Israel's Yom HaZikaron, which is Memorial Day. It's going to be a major moment and disturbance for households all throughout the country. In the past year, since last year's Memorial Day, 1,594 soldiers and civilians were killed in combat or by terror in Israel, marking the deadliest year in 5 decades. Among these, 760 soldiers died while serving in the military, with 61 disabled veterans succumbing to injuries that they sustained during their service. The majority of deaths occurred during the ongoing war, with 711 soldiers and security force members killed since October 7th. 598 were IDF soldiers. This toll is the highest since the 1973 Yom Kippur War, some 51 years ago. The Defense Ministry expressed the challenge of accommodating a high volume of burials amidst ongoing hostilities and increased security measures for Memorial Day ceremonies. Immediately after Memorial Day, Israel jumps to celebrate Independence Day. So the way that days work here is that we actually work on a lunar calendar. So one day begins at nightfall, and then the day is finished the next day when the sun goes out. So it's sundown to sundown. So we have Sunday night into Monday night is Yom HaZikaron. And then Monday night, as soon as the sun goes down, the sadness turns immediately into joy and people begin celebrating Yom HaAtzma'ut, which is Independence Day. And people are going to be barbecuing and doing Independence Day activities on Tuesday during the day. And that is very indicative of Israeli society. It's a deep propensity to hold the pain and feel the sadness and then immediately move on and celebrate life. Now, there is a different total, which I find fascinating, and I want to share here. 25,034 Jews have died during their service to the country since 1860. That's the year that Israel, before it became Israel, and it was a Jewish community living in this region, started to count its fallen soldiers. And in a lot of people don't even know this, that there were Jews here in the 1800s. There were always Jews in this region. You can just look at Hebron. You can look at the West Bank. There were always Jews here. There's always been a Jewish presence here if you didn't know that. Now, in the 1800s, there was a first wave of immigration, and actually people walked here from all over trying to get to a place of safety. So the Jewish community began counting the fallen in 1860, and since 1860, there's been 25,034 people who have died during service to the State of Israel and the future of the Jewish people. Alon Shamriz, age 26, deceased. Alon was kidnapped from his home in Kibbutz Kfar Aza. On December 15th, he was shot in Gaza by IDF troops who mistook him as a Hamas terrorist. He is survived by his parents and 3 siblings. His friends and family describe him as an intelligent, outgoing person. He was studying computer science at Sapir College and loved playing snooker in his free time. Elia Cohen, 27. Elia was abducted from the Nova Music Festival. He was attending with his girlfriend, Ziv, who managed to escape after they both hid behind a pile of dead bodies. Elia is the oldest and only male sibling of 3. His mother says that herself and Elia are, quote, one soul. Emily Damari, age 27. Emily was kidnapped from her home in Kibbutz Kfar Aza. She is a British-Israeli dual citizen. Her mother, Mandy, has been a spokesperson to bring her and all the women held in Gaza home. Tamar Gutman, age 27, deceased. Tamar was taken from the Nova Music Festival and either killed on October 7th or while in captivity. She was a second-year law student. Tamar suffered from Crohn's disease and required many visits to the hospital and medication. She was the caregiver for her family and loved to cook food for them. She was happy, playful, and content. Inbar Hyman, age 27, deceased. Inbar was kidnapped while volunteering at the Nova Music Festival. The IDF confirms that she was killed in Gaza. She was a visual and communication student from Haifa. She is survived by her parents and brother. Andrei Kozlov, age 27. Andre was abducted while working as a security guard at the Nova Music Festival. He moved from St. Petersburg, Russia, to Israel a year and a half ago after participating in a Masa internship program. Andre lives with his friends in Rishon LeZion and has no family in Israel. Sasha Trufanov, age 27. Sasha was kidnapped from his parents' home in Kibbutz Nir Oz on October 7th. He was abducted with his parents, grandmother, and partner, who were all released in the November hostage deal, except for him. Sasha works as an engineer in Amazon's Web Services cloud division. Though he's been with the company for over a year, Amazon remains silent about his capture. Before working with Amazon, he studied electrical engineering at Ben-Gurion University. His friends say he is a genius. Sasha often took a coffee break each day at 3 p.m. Since his capture, his family has encouraged people to take a break at 3 p.m. to have coffee and think of Sasha. Amit Buskila, age 28. Amit was kidnapped from the Nova Music Festival. She is a fashion stylist with a substantial following on social media. She was raised by a single mother. Amit is described as full of joy and is missed by her many friends. Yotam Chaim, age 28. Yotam was abducted from Kibbutz Kfar Aza. He was killed on December 15th by IDF troops in Gaza when misidentified as a Hamas terrorist. Yotam played the drums in a heavy metal band called Persephor. He and his friends would always get together and jam. They have tributed music to him since his capture. Idan Shtivi, age 28. Idan was kidnapped while working as a photographer at the Nova Music Festival. He tried to escape in a car with two friends, but was driven off the road by terrorists. He's an environmental science student planning to work in the energy sector to combat climate change. The Tel Avivian looks forward to moving into a new apartment with his girlfriend and new dog, as well as join a volunteer program that aids disadvantaged children in Africa. He loves nature, camping, and music, and is known to be clever and resourceful. Elia Toledano, age 28, deceased. Elia was kidnapped to Gaza from the Nova Music Festival. He had been confirmed dead by the IDF. He was a French-Israeli dual citizen. He's been described to have had a heart of gold. He filled his life with passions, which are travel and music. He was at the desert rave with his friend Mia Shrem, also abducted but released in November in the temporary truce. Arbel Yehud, age 28. Arbel was abducted from her home in Kibbutz Nir Oz, along with family members and in-laws. Some of her family was released in the November hostage deal, but she is still in captivity with her brother Dolev, her partner Ariel, and Ariel's brother David. Arbel is a third-generation resident of Kibbutz Nir Oz. She has a passion for astronomy and works at Groove Tech, which is a children's science learning and play center. May each and every one come home safe, sound, without a scratch, and furthermore, may every hostage lead a full life with no trauma and no hesitation for reaching their full potential. I want to thank all of you for your interest in Israeli affairs, Israeli politics, our world politics. I also want to thank all of you who personally finance and fund the Israel Daily News Podcast with monthly contributions. You can support us with monthly contributions by going over to our website, IsraelDailyNews.org. Our organization is operational, thanks to listeners and supporters like you. In response for your contributions, I'll send over a handwritten thank you note to show my appreciation. You can also support us by leaving us a review on Apple Podcasts. 2, you can share the show with a friend. And 3, you can follow us on Facebook and Instagram at IsraelDaily.news, as well as Shanna Fold. My name has 2 N's in it, and I'm very sensitive about that. You can also find us on Twitter at Israel Podcast. And now let's look to spirituality to guide us through these tough times.
This week's Torah portion is called Kedoshim, Holy Ones. And it's because in the beginning of the Parsha, in the beginning of the Torah portion, Moses tells the Jewish people, you should be holy because I, the Lord your God, am holy. And the uniqueness of this Parsha is actually this Parsha is told directly to the Jewish people. Normally, what would happen is Moses would tell the laws to Aaron and his sons and a whole council and so on, and then it would get disseminated to the people. But here, Moses is talking directly to the people, and the first thing he tells them, he extols them, be holy. It's a positive thing. He doesn't go right into all the negative things that could happen if you don't do the commandments of God, and all the punishments and so on and so forth. Instead, he gives them a positive exhortation to tell them, hey, be holy. You are connecting to godliness over here. From this, we can learn that we should always approach another person with warmth and friendliness and positivity. History has shown that intimidating people with fear of punishment and a lot of doom and gloom is not really so effective. But rather, we should take a positive approach, and that will actually draw people towards Judaism, towards holiness, towards godliness. And even though there is a verse in Psalms that suggests that we should do the other direction, start with the negative. It says, turn away from evil and do good, first emphasizing the turning away from evil, emphasizing that negative aspect first, and then the positive. But we could actually interpret the verse another way. In order to turn away from evil, just do good, and then the evil will take care of itself. Shabbat shalom.
All right. Well, that is it for today's show. Today is Thursday, May 9th, 2024. Tel Aviv has a low of 19 degrees Celsius and a high of 32 degrees. That's 67 degrees Fahrenheit for the low, going up to 89 degrees for the high. Subscribe to the Israel Daily News Podcast on Spotify or Apple Podcasts or wherever you're hearing it from. We are everywhere. Don't forget to sign up to our Israel Weekly News Wrap. The Israel Weekly News Wrap is a newsletter with the top five stories coming out of Israel from throughout the week, and of course, with a personal note from me at the top. You can sign up for that at israeldailynews.org. A big thank you goes out to our social media director, Michelle Milner. I'll send you off now with a song called Yehiye Tov, which means It Will Be Good. This is a new cover by Morty Weinstein, Idan Tamler, and Nicole Raviv. The end has a sample of Hatikva, which is Israel's national anthem. Have a great and productive day and an excellent weekend. Shabbat shalom, everyone. ואמרנו תודה על עוד יום לא מנסים לכבוש את העולם רק לנקות הלב מאבק עוצרים בצד הדרך מסתכלת בעיניים שאני אומר לה גם אם יישרף הכסף נשב ונצחק במרפסת אני ואת והשקט לא צריך כלום קרן שמש גם אם ייקח לנו זמן תראי שהכל מכוון נשב מסביב לשולחן אני מבטיח לך שבסוף יהיה טוב הפרחים ישובו לפרוח תראי שיהיה טוב יהיה טוב גם אם יש עוד דרך לעבור בסוף יהיה טוב הפרחים ישובו לפרוח, תראי שיהיה טוב. יהיה טוב. יהיה טוב. גם מתוך החושך ידלק האור. בסוף זה רק אנחנו בחדר, מה עברנו בשנה זה כמו עשר. זה לא במילים זה התדר ניסיתי לעשות לנו סדר לפעמים רואים רק את הסדר נמצא את הדרך בלי נדר הזמן טס כל כך מהר אנחנו בטח לא נזכור את מה שאין רק מה שכן אפשר לעזוב את העיר ניסה על הכביש המהיר עתיד תמיד מזהיר לא צריך כלום רק אוויר נמצא איזה אור שבור נחיה שם כאילו ברור שמדובר בהרמון רק תזכור שבסוף יהיה, יהיה טוב הפחים ישובו לברוח תראה שיהיה טוב יהיה טוב גם אם יש
יש עוד דרך לעבור בסוף יהיה טוב הפרחים ישובו לפרוח תראה שיהיה טוב
יהיה טוב
זה לאט, את בטח לא תחזיקי את זה נגדי וזה בטח טוב עוד ועוד משעת יקרה משהו בטוח, זה לא אמיתי אם יקרה לך משהו אני משתגע אם יקרה לך משהו זה הסוף שלי אם יקרה לך משהו אני משתגע אם יקרה לך משהו זה הסוף שלי אני בטח לא אקח את זה לאט את בטח לא תחזיקי את זה נגדי וזה בטח טוב עוד ועוד משעת יקרה משהו בטוח, זה לא אמיתי